Hello, welcome to You Haven't Blanked That. I'm Forrest.
And this is Jimmy.
Jimmy.
So this week we watched a little movie called Bram Stoker's Dracula for Francis? What's his middle name?
Ford. Coppola.
Coppola. Francis Ford. So his initials are FFC?
Yeah.
It's stupid. Anyways, Count Dracula, a 15th century prince, is condemned to live off the blood of the living for eternity. Young lawyer Jonathan Harker is sent to Dracula's castle to finalize a land deal, but when the count sees a photo of Harkin's fiancée, Mina, the spitting image of his dead wife, he imprisons him and sets off to London to track her down.
Does that happen in the book? It didn't seem like... I feel like it doesn't happen. No.
The Mina Dracula thing, that he added that. That's separate.
Yeah, because I feel like the, up to a point, like, Dracula Dead and Loving It was a better adaptation of Dracula than fucking Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Yeah, it is. And people keep saying that, like, this is a faithful adaptation to the book. And I'm like, it's not, though.
I got halfway through the book. I'm okay, and I'll tell you why. I don't like epistolary novels.
Okay.
I don't mind every once in a while, like, if you got to throw something in there.
Yeah.
Like, oh, hey, this telegram came in. I'm going to read this part so you know what's happening. That's fine.
Yeah.
But, like, when that's your thing, like, it kind of starts bothering me. That's why I can never get through Frankenstein. Because, like, the first third of the book, I can't...
And that's an amazing book.
I'm sure it is.
That's an amazing book.
But I can't do it because that fucking epistolary shit.
And a woman wrote it.
Whoa.
Well, she was, like, what, 18, 19?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. She was fucking...
A girl wrote it.
She was... fucking dodging Lord Byron's cock and like, oh, I'm gonna write this book. Oh man, Lord Byron, I can't blow you. I've been writing this book.
Well, because like there was a, for the Frankenstein, there was a bet going on that a woman couldn't write a scary,
I think they were story. All betting for the weekend,
or
I
who
think.
Could yeah who
I
could
think it was the whole weekend story. And then like, you know, dodging Lord Byron's dick.
Yeah, exactly.
But so I got some questions about the book. And then we'll go to the movie. I only got a few questions about the book. So, in the book, they mentioned that, like, Lucy's blood is running out. Right? Like, right. They and that is why they had to keep doing... And they do it in the movie, too. The transfusions. Okay. So, is that what happens with the vampire? Like, their blood, like... Is that what the science is behind that?
So,
What do you mean? Like, is their blood, for lack of a better term, metabolizing...
So
essentially, that's why they need blood so it can.
So a lot of different vampire stories have different like ways of
explaining it.
A lot of people say it's an iron deficiency because that they take the iron from the blood.
Yeah.
A lot of people say, there was a book that I read a long time ago.
Spinach.
Right. But like the blood congeals in their bodies, which makes them think that you have a strong grip, but it's really just their.
It's just
their it's hands just. It's dead.
Yeah.
And, the blood is, like, forcing the blood to move, continually moving, so they can't constantly have to feed to keep them awake and alive.
Which one does that? Is that True Blood? Is that what True Blood does?
No, True Blood's just, vampires.
Vampires. Move on.
Okay. Yeah. Vampires. This one, they don't talk about it.
Yeah. But, like, I was just trying to figure that out, like, because they mention it in the book.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay. Also, Van Helsing, I feel, is way different in the book than he is in this fucking movie.
I'm trying to remember.
Because in the book, Van Helsing is like that doctor that gives you cocaine for the ghosts in your stool.
Yeah.
But then he's also like, I'm a doctor and a lawyer who fights monsters. Like, is he the fucking, like, 18th century Buckaroo Banzai? Like, what the fuck is happening? I'm, like, reading all this and I'm all like, I'm a doctor and a lawyer.
Yeah.
Did you get bit by a vampire? Like,
there's, like, the book itself has a lot of, like, superstitions thrown into it to kind of keep, like,
now, the whole thing going around. Now, were these superstitions that were around or superstitions that they made?
Superstitions that were around. So, there was a book called The Book of the Book of Werewolves. And this is where Francis Ford Coppola, no, from Bram Stoker, I think, also took the notes from there, too. But, when you see Dracula's palms, remember how, like, they're all hairy?
Yeah.
And, like, there's always, like, that whole thing, like, oh, because he's pleasuring himself and he's jerking off. But that's not what that reference means. That reference is going back to the Book of the Werewolves. Because in the book, they're saying that vampires and werewolves are similar.
Well, yeah, because they turn into fucking werewolves to wolves throughout this fucking book.
Yeah, and so in the Book of the Werewolves, I forget. Do I have it? I don't have it.
That's okay.
But it talks about how the hair grows from the hollows of their hands. And that's how you can tell the characteristics of a werewolf. Because they have short, stumpy fingers, and the hair grows from the hollows.
Palm. I got that. Now, is it because it's the short, stumpy fingers because they...
The paws,
yeah, okay. Yeah. Did you watch that Curse of the Demeter movie?
The one? I did.
How was that?
Really good.
See, I heard a lot of people didn't like it.
I liked it a lot.
It sounded interesting.
And, like, I didn't put two and two together when I watched it. I knew it was a vampire movie. I'm like, oh. It's the voyage
Voyage to the Demeter or wherever the fuck it was. So who plays Dracula in that, or is it not Dracula?
It is Dracula. I forgot the actor's name.
Was it okay?
It was good. I liked it. I thought it was really good. And, like, the murders that happened around the boat, and then, I do like it, and I'm like, okay, that's cool. Like, it's...
Do they make it seem like things are accidental at first, and then it kind of, like, you're like, oh, shit's happening.
You get, like, a sense of, like, oh, there's something on board, and blah, 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 and then, like, they see the coffins, and then, like, and then they open up the coffins, and it's full of dirt, and then they're like, oh, shit, and then, like... Then some random sailor knows a superstition about the dirt, and then it's like, okay. And then but I liked it. The ending is actually really spectacular, because it's like, I didn't expect it. I thought it was good. You should totally watch it. But also in the book references, like, tons of, like, Transylvania superstitions. Some of them are made in the movie, too. Like, the superstition of the blue flame. So
yeah, we'll get to that blue flame.
So the superstition about the blue flame is at night, I believe on a full moon, if you see a blue flame, it means that there's treasure buried beneath. But if you take that treasure and you take it home,
that curse of Dracula.
The curse will follow you, or like demons or devils will follow you to your home. So to avoid them, you would end up putting, like, coals in front of your doorstep as you walk into your house. That'll kind of ward off, like, the evils. But then, like, that's why, like, people are very cautious when they see the blue flames. Hence why in the book they talk about how it's right outside the house or the castle.
Yeah.
You see the blue flames.
So, that's all I had for the book, really. I guess I only got halfway through.
So, let me just go over a couple superstitions, because I wrote some of them down.
Okay.
Helsing in the book... And in the movie, they talk about Dracula having command of the winds.
Yeah.
So,
Because they're like, oh, it's a horrible fucking storm, and we're gonna run in our 90s and fucking see through.
So the movie refers to, like, Vlad, like, calling on the winds, because, like, there's a group of I wouldn't call them Satanists, black magicians. They were called the Sholomants, and they lived in the mountains. But the group, the Sholomants, would have a maximum of 10 participants show up and go to the mountains and to learn the craft of manipulating the weather. And so they would be able to call down lightning, raise up storms, and, like, you know, do whatever. But the classes were taught by the devil himself. And so being that they're implying that, like, Vlad was part of that sect. That's why he was able to call upon those winds, because, like, a normal vampire wouldn't be able to, like, call him. Oh, no, it's in the movie, not in the book. But that's Coppola is just adding more stuff to the actual, like,
legend itself. So, that whole intro with him, they're like, did we need that intro?
No, and they changed it, too, because in the book, it's in the 1800s or 1800s, but they moved it to the 1400s. Which part are you talking about?
The part at the beginning where he's in this red armor, and I'm gonna fucking stab the fucking cross, and I'm gonna drink the blood.
So that was mainly
because when my wife dies, I'm gonna stab a cross and drink the blood that flows out of it.
So that was just a you kind of needed to tie in the story of the love story that happens at the end, but like that. So the love story, Vlad had a wife.
No, I get all that.
So his first wife actually did jump off of a building, but it wasn't because
he was dead.
He was dead. They did give the attack. The battle that he fought was at night and lasted till morning, but the battle was actually in the morning and it went on. But his first wife was in the castle, so knew they were going to be attacked, and she threw herself off the ledge into the river, and she did it because she didn't want to be captured and raped and whatnot. But also. In the movie, he refers to the river as Argish, which is not the right river, because the river that's named after that lady is Ruli Domini. So the Ruli Domini does flow into the Argish, but the Ruli Domini means the lady's river, because that's where she ended up, like, falling and dying.
Gotcha. love seeing Tom Waits.
Tom Waits, fantastic.
So Keanu's accent.
And so
I always like how they made fun of that on Saved by the Bell, because they go to a movie at one point and they make fun of it.
Do they?
Yeah.
I don't remember that. But yeah, his accent's atrocious. It's really bad. Winona's isn't bad.
It's not great.
But it's compared to
Keanu. I didn't really like this movie, I'm gonna be honest.
You don't like it?
No, like everyone's like, oh, this is like one of the best movies that has all these people in it. And I'm like, yeah, it's just okay. Like I like all the people in it. Like all the people in it are fucking people that you've seen in movies, and they're all fucking great and things. Yeah. Like you've seen, and they've like everybody. I mean, I was actually pissed. Actually, I thought it was funny because I was reading the book, and I couldn't figure out. I always look at the cast of the movie when I'm reading the book. So I have if I have to read the book, or if I'm just because I want to picture somebody.
Yeah,
I'll do it. So I thought the whole time that Cary Elwes was playing the Billy Campbell part.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, you get the person with the best English accent in the world, and you put it behind a Texas accent?
Yeah. But how good was that Texas accent, though?
It's Billy Campbell. Yeah. It's the Rocketeer.
Yeah.
Which so, I was like, this is the fucking Rocketeer?
So, Gary Oldman, he was known to be very upset with the production, because he was fine with Coppola doing his thing, and then the costume designer... Ashika Tonaki.
Yeah.
He loved her. Like, everything was great, but the problem was you get Winona Ryder, which is, she fine for what her role is, you know, whatever, sucks, but you could have got someone better. But Keanu did nothing to prepare himself for this role, and his accent was garbage, and it kept fluctuating throughout the entire, like, production. So, Oldman was just infuriated because he... For a year,
and he works on his fucking craft.
He works so hard. So for a year before this, when they before the filming, he had a vocalist come with him and practice with him daily to lower his voice one octave. So every time he spoke, it sounded very deeper, more menacing voice.
Yeah.
And so to keep that
throughout the whole production,
to act off of that, dude, he got furious. And there's many times where, like, Coppola knew what was going on. It was, like, irritated. So he filmed the two of them separate. And then but Oldman needed somebody to act off of. And then, like, there was I think it's on Instagram. They've been showing it, like, or I've been seeing it. But, like, he's in that red Burns boobs head, thing. And he's just waiting for Keanu. He's getting pissed off. And then he's like, Keanu's, and then Ford steps in. And he goes, Keanu's not in this scene. He goes, he's in this scene. He goes, well, he's not here. And then, like, Oldman just fucking turns around and the big old flare with his cape and just storms off. But it's because he was just so infuriated. Like, he knows he's a terrible actor. That's fine. But he's going to work off of him. But he couldn't. Yeah. It was a lot of issues on
set. But something something I don't get about this, and like I'm watching like the whole all the shadows stuff and everything, yeah. But then I'm watching everything else, and I'm like, people who bitch about effects, like movie effects, are okay with this movie.
Oh no, for sure, they love this movie.
But I'm like, you bitch about all these effects, and but you're okay with the effects in this movie.
This movie, okay, so Coppola ended up firing his effects team because he told them, "I want everything on this this film to be as like old timey as we could get it. So let's just do everything in camera." So everything is filmed in camera.
Okay.
So all the effects are on camera. And they told him, this is impossible. We can't do it. He goes, are you fucking kidding me? He fired them. Fired them immediately. Went to his son. He goes, this is
what I want. Oh, Roman
Coppola, yeah. He went to his son. He's like, this is what I want to do. Blah, blah, blah. His son's like, oh, 100% we can do it. And so everything on the thing is like miniatures and everything. But everything is filmed in camera.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Like, it's amazing. Especially with that green fog coming in. Because it looks so like CGI'd. But it's not. The only thing that's post production effects is the blue flames in the beginning, where he gets to the castle,
yeah.
And when Amelia's out there.
I was just like.
But those are the only two outside effects. Everything else is in camera, which is incredible.
But that my thing is like, I'm just like, we all bitch about effects, but this is where we're okay with all this.
Yeah, you don't like it?
I guess I was just so. Okay. I feel like this is everybody's like, this is the last good Coppola movie, but like. No, like...
It's a bummer because I hear that too, and I don't think it is, but I feel like... But I love this movie. I love this movie so much.
I wasn't impressed with this.
So like, the costume designer... I wrote her name down, so let me get it right for her.
And also, this movie is fucking horny as shit.
Oh, yeah, it is.
That book is chased. Oh. Like, that book is really chased, and this movie is fucking horny as shit.
Before I get to the costume designer, just a quick side note. So, you know the scream that Dracula makes when he's stabbing the cross in the beginning, and it starts to bleed? Do you know that's not Oldman's voice?
Whose voice is it?
You don't know this?
I don't know this.
Oh, I okay, cool.
Again, because I've never seen this movie.
Ullman went out of his way to contact the Cramps to call the lead singer.
And he got Lux to do this?
To do the scream for him. So that's Lux's voice doing the scream in the film.
I did not know this.
Yeah, I figured like you would have looked it up or whatever.
I'm sure it wasn't hard, because I'm sure Tom Waits was like, I know Lux.
Yeah. So yeah, they ended up doing it. And then I was going to say, the costume designer... Akio Ishika. But anyways, she is actually super amazing. I saw this, like, because I always look up random stuff about, like, costume designers that I really like just to kind of follow what they're doing. Some of them I hound online to get ideas, to get, like, patterns and, like, stuff so I can make a jacket that I want. But with her, she was in Japan. She was, like, maybe 14, 15, and then she started making her own clothes.
Yeah.
And everybody was making fun of her because her clothes were just so wacky, and they told her, it's like, you need to calm down, you need to conform, because in Japan, conformity is key, you know what I mean? And so she said, no, like, this is what I want to do, I like this, I want to just play with colors and fabrics and do all this stuff, and her teachers told her, it's like, you will not accomplish anything in your life, so you need to stop and, like, you know, do this, because... You're never gonna make it big making dresses.
And so she
goes, okay. And her mom was like, okay, well, we'll pay for you to do this. And so she ended up like going to school, taking all these classes. This is her first run. They saw designs of her other stuff, and
the one thing I will say I like about Coppola is that he will get big people, but he'll look at everything.
He'll look at everybody.
That's the one thing I respect about Coppola is like. He'll take a chance on the small person.
Yeah, because even now, you could buy the red armor, that armor or whatnot. You could buy that. It's on auction right now from, I think, Planet Hollywood is selling it. It's like $4,200 right now. So she designed everything, and which is amazing, too, because that armor, she just like thought it was cool, and so he liked it, because she's the same designer who did the cell. With what's her face?
Oh, was that the same person?
Same person.
What else has she done besides the cell and this then?
Those are the two big ones. Yeah.
And I'm sure she got the cell off of this.
Oh yeah, 100%. And then like so but even the costumes, everything that's done there is amazing. And everything is referencing other stuff. Because at the end of the film when he's in the church with Mina and he comes out of the coffin, and he's wearing that gold cloak, or that cloak, whatever. That's a reference to Gustavov's painting, The Kiss. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's two people's heads kissing, and then they're covered in a gold cloak. So that's everything was based on like just different. It was amazing. Like visually, I love it. Art wise, fantastic.
Can I tell you
story wise? It was okay, but acting.
I don't think the acting was that great in this.
Dude. No, you got you got all these Tom Waits, fantastic. Oldman, amazing.
Yeah.
Text, fantastic. Lucy's scene with the baby. I thought that was amazing.
Okay. This feels more like Tom Waits' Dracula than Coppola's Dracula, I feel. Like, there's some shit in there when it kind of goes...
Because it's kinda, all spooky and weird, or
is because it kind of does that David Lynch thing every once in a while. You know what I mean? But it feels like Tom Waits. This felt like Tom Waits' Dracula more than... And for all we know, it is, because he was just there.
Yeah, and like, honestly, but this is all Winona's idea. So, Winona was supposed to be in a film with Coppola... But she had to back out last minute.
You know what it was, don't you?
No.
Godfather 3.
Oh!
She was going to be the fucking daughter.
No shit.
And then she had to back out, and that's why we have Sofia Coppola as the daughter.
No shit. Yeah. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense. And
I was surprised.
Winona was actually worried that she pissed off...
I would think so, too.
And so she came up to her like a year after...
Oh, you know what she did instead? She did Reality Bites instead of... I think it was Reality Bites is what she did instead of...
Of Godfather?
Yeah, or...
And so...
Yeah, because I think it goes... I think it would go... for her, Heathers, and then Beetlejuice, and then this.
She did another movie that was pretty big right afterwards, too.
Fucking Heathers.
No, but another one.
Reality Bites.
Another one. Okay, whatever.
Okay, but, DJ Khaled. Yeah. another one.
But so she ended up getting the first script she got, I believe, was a guy named Jim Hart who wrote the script, and she took it to Coppola and said, "Hey, like, I'm sorry."
Oh, Scissorhands.
What's it?
Scissorhands.
There you go. Thank you. That's what it was. And she goes like, "Hey, like, hopefully there's no like bad blood. Like, here's the script. I think you do a really good job with it." And, he was on board immediately.
Let me see. I can tell you right now. I'm going to look at her filmography.
But, man, dude, like, overall, like, maybe it's just this movie. Oh, but, like, I'm just into vampires. But this one, like, I was actually...
Oh, there's a few. Okay. So, it goes Beetlejuice, and then there's a movie called 1969, then Heathers. So, it's Beetlejuice, Heathers. Oh, there's Great Balls of Fire.
Oh, yeah, she was in that.
Yeah. Edward Scissorhands. But yeah, she does. Ever seen Night on Earth?
No.
That one's good. Oh, you know what? So, hold on. When was Godfather 3? I thought Godfather 3 was like 1989, wasn't it?
I thought it was early 90s.
Is it early 90s?
I think so.
Here, I'll tell you right now. Maybe it was Edward Scissorhands then that she didn't do, that she did then.
That she did
instead of that, because... Reality Bites isn't until 94, so there'd be no cross. Yeah,
so Beetlejuice or Edward Scissorhands. So, also, like, I don't know, like, there's a couple things that were added that people just threw in. Like, one of them off the top of the head is when Mina's at that recital thing and the wolf comes in.
Yeah.
So, obviously, it was sent in via Dracula because he commanded to show up. But he called the white wolf a Strigoi, and that's a Romanian term for a vampire. So it's kind of like, hey, FYI. But also, Oldman, he was the one who was like, hey, like, you know, vampires, you know, blah, 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 bats. So let's just put Dracula in a bat costume. So that bat costume where he's in that creepy, like...
Where he's fucking her in the graveyard?
Or No, that's the werewolf thing, but like...
The half-werewolf.
The half-werewolf, half...
Werewolfula.
Yeah. But like the one where he's like he's like a grown man that. That was just Oldman's idea, and they said like it'd just be so fucking cool, like we'll get makeup to do it, and then Coppola's like, yeah, let's just run with that, like it's a good idea, just because they wanted to get as many vampire references as they could at the time, as well as like make kind of tie it into the story.
Yeah.
But like I do like this collaboration of everybody throwing in ideas and like it coming into the film, because like you see it, like everybody's The film is, I think people like it because it was just so dark and like more real. But
look, it's responsible for, it's half responsible for a genre of music. Let's not yeah. act like it wasn't. But I was super disappointed when I learned that the Mad Magazine parody wasn't called Hamstroker's Dracula.
What was it called?
We take the air out of Dracula's wings, or whatever it was. Also,
Dracula didn't loving it is great, because like the best scene is, again, Lucy's scene in the cemetery, or like he stabs it, all that blood comes popping. Yeah. He goes like, "Oh, location, location."
That was the other thing. So this one, I always pictured this movie to be a lot bloodier than it was. Like, I don't know why I did it. Like, when I was a kid, I did not want to see this movie as a kid.
Because you thought it was gonna be gory.
Yeah, that's the vibe I got off that movie, was that it was gonna be gory as shit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, this is it.
It's very sexual.
It's horny as shit. Yeah, it's like, this is like the horniest, one of the horniest. If I could say there's one horny movie, and Francis Ford Coppola's.
But I think they took the horniness just out of like the old, well, the Ghosties Dracula.
But it also feels more like Cape Fear than Dracula.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It feels a lot more like Cape Fear than Dracula to me. Also, why the fuck in the middle of the movie is there an absinthe commercial?
Yeah, there is. But it's just like, they're trying to show you like the time. Absinthe. Yeah.
And then it says, sin on screen.
Absinthe. Yeah. But
absinthe. Like, I was just like, the fuck is this?
Yeah, yeah. But like,
there's... Where's Hansel? Because like, he needs to be the brand going, absinthe. I see Hansel, but where's Gretel?
I didn't know they made a second movie of,
Oh, it's not good.
Yeah, I try to watch it. I stopped.
The cartoon, if you can find the cartoon.
Zoolander.
Oh, cartoon.
There's a cartoon?
Yeah, the cartoon's better, and it still has his dad. I forgot, was his dad still alive in the new one? The second, yeah, he was still alive in the two. But he's in that cartoon.
Oh, okay, I'll check it out.
I think the cartoon was the last thing his dad did. I think the cartoon came out after, but the cartoon was better than the movie was.
Oh, okay. But, like, overall, like, because I even now, I'll still listen to... I'll scour the internet for like true vampire encounters. Mm-hmm. And that is a rough go, because you get people saying that they're vampires and blah, blah, and all this random, like, people making up stories, and you're like, okay, cool. But when you find a real story, then you're like, holy shit.
About how many do you feel bullshit stories do you hear, like, over?
98% of them are bullshit stories. You get some legitimate
stories. And how can you tell the difference between bullshit or not?
Some of them are interviews that somebody else went through, and I'm like, okay, yeah, because like, there's certain things that...
So interviews with some vampires.
No, not with vampires, but victims. So, especially in New Orleans, if you go to any like local Nolens, if you talk to any local person, they'll tell you that they believe in different stuff. Like, I believe in the fae, no doubt. That's why gnomes, fairies.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So like gnomes, I don't like them, because like, there's tons of videos of like gnomes in Mexico just running around. Like, they creep me the fuck out. I don't like them. I don't like them.
Han.
What?
Is this why you don't like little people?
It's not little people.
I know it's not little people. I'm aware of what a fucking gnome is and what a little person is.
Yeah.
I'm doing height measures. Now, I'm aware of the difference between the two, but you famously don't like little people.
I don't. It's probably because of that, but like, I really don't like, I do not like. Because
little people are like giant gnomes.
They freak me out. Yeah, dude, they freak me out.
So, explain the gnome thing. Like, you've seen videos of gnomes.
Oh, yeah, I've never shown you these videos?
No.
So, in Mexico, they're called nanitos.
Okay. I'm going to ask you questions.
And there's multiple.
I'm going to ask you questions.
Yes.
Now, I've only seen white gnomes. are they...
They're black. They're jet black. Some of them are like browny, greenish color. Like, they kind of look like plants.
So they're not veterinarians.
No. But like, they're...
They don't ride foxes.
I don't know if there's any... Probably. I think they'd be too scared of them.
The foxes or the gnomes?
The foxes would be scared of the gnomes. Yeah, dude, like, it's just, like, they're, like, the size of boogers, like, bowl thing. You know, they're tiny. They just, or they're even tinier too.
Yeah, there's baby ones.
Yeah, no, they're not. They're but they're like have to. Like, it's creeps me out.
Well, explain them. What do these gnomes do? I mean, something that small running around.
They just start to wreak havoc, and they bring a menace with them. So as soon as you appease them, you're stuck with them, and now you continue have to appease them. Otherwise, they'll wreak havoc for everything and everyone, and they'll follow you around. And then there's a tale in Guatemala, I think, or no, maybe Guanajuato, somewhere, maybe it's in Mexico, but about this guy who was in it was the early 1900s, where he was walking back from playing at a wedding or a festival. And he took a shortcut through the woods to get to his house. And when he did, he saw some gnomes. And he was freaking out, so he kind of backed up. And then he started playing his mandolin. And they were tossing gold coins at him. So he just kept playing, like, not a big deal. And then, like, once he was done, the gnomes just kind of took off. And then so he just, like, fuck it. So he collected the gold and just fucking ran back home. But when he got home, just like with, like, you deal with any fae, they'll fuck with you. So he came back to his house, but when he opened the door, the door was locked, he couldn't get in, so he knocked on the door, and his wife opened the door, but she was old. And then, like, she was like, he was like, what the fuck's going on? And then, like, he realized, like, 10 years have gone by, and she married his friend, and they had a family, and he still looked exactly the same when he left. And then he goes, like, no, and he tried to tell her, like, these, like, I ran into these, like, nanitos in the woods, and I got scared, and I was playing for them. But then when he looked at his hands, they were bloody. And when he pulled out the coins, it was just dirt. It was just dirt that he was pulling out. And then that was kind of the end of it. And like it's like a well-known story of that town, of that state. But like just like with like in the Sandman, when they talk about like the fate, like you don't trust them, you don't ask them stuff, you never give them your name, you never interact with them if you can, but if you do interact with them, you have to be very polite because you don't want to offend them, because if you do, then you're fucked again. So it's one of those where it's like, that could stay over there, and it could be over there. I just rather not be around anything around them. But yeah, anyways. But there's also videos of like gnomes coming around. They're like, but like if you're standing up, they're smaller than your knee. Your knees, yeah. So they're tiny. And then also, but there's little like fairy-looking things, but they don't have wings, but they're, like, sprites type of a thing. Like little,
yeah, like the little guys in fucking Willow?
Kind of. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then they're tiny, and they're just, like, around. And then they sneak into people's houses, and those you need to be careful, too, not to let them in, because then they'll bring malice with them as well. But, like, but there's videos. I'll show you later on. Like, there's tons of videos. But, yeah, so when it comes to all that stuff, I don't want nothing of it.
Yeah, we were talking about yeah.
So, so when I was looking at this documentary, it wasn't a documentary; it was just a thing. But like, this woman was talking about how she was hypnotized by a vampire. She was at a bar, and no, it was a guy. It was a guy who was in the bar, and this guy was coming up and talking to him, and then just kind of whatever. But he had a presence to him where he didn't know what was going on. And, like, he was just kind of, like, the guy was talking to him, and then he just kind of, like, as per conversation, he just kind of felt super relaxed and just kind of, like, yeah, whatever. And they walked outside, and then that guy asked him for a lighter, and he goes, I don't have a lighter. And then, like, as it was going on, he kind of kept leading him away from the bar, into the parking lot, into, like, in between these cars. And his buddies came out of the bar and kind of were looking for him. And this is obviously that kind of dirt road parking lot type of thing. And they see him. And as they look over, like, they're like, hey, what are you doing? So as they go over, the guy that let him out was pissed. And he, like, opened his mouth. And he was about to, like, bite the guy. But his mouth were filled with, like, teeth that were, like, needle-shaped. And he was about to, like, bite him and take off with him. But then, like, once his friends ran over to him, that guy jumped and landed, like, I don't know,
far away,
but landed on a car, heard the car crunch, because it landed on the roof, and it took off. And then, like, he was like, he goes, I knew I wanted to leave, but, like, I was so in, like, in the middle of just following him that I just followed him. So this other story is about a woman who was wanting to become a vampire after being around a vampire. And so...
like you do.
So this woman was, like, was like dating this guy or seeing this guy. They ended up started dating. I don't remember how it started, but they were dating, and he was always just weird and keeping himself at a distance, but available, but always wanting to be around her. And she was saying that, like, you know, it was like he was just odd, and that he'd like, he'd be in the room, but she wouldn't be able to feel him in the room. Do you know what I mean? So she didn't have that sense of like, oh, he's here. I mean, he had zero presence. And then so, but at times she had full on realizations that she was, when he wasn't around, she knew somebody was around and in the same room, but she couldn't see anybody and she couldn't hear anything. So, but she always had like a sense of people coming in the room. So he ended up inviting her, this lady, to a party. And like, you know, he ends up telling her that he's a vampire. And she's like freaking out, but not believing it, kind of like, whatever. And he goes like, no, like it's, and she goes like, I could see your reflection, all this other stuff. And he goes, well, yeah, like I'm flesh, you know, I have a body. So like, of course, you know, like that's all superstitions. But he says, she says, well, can you make me a vampire? Well, I'll stay young forever. And he goes, no, that's not how this works. You can never be a vampire because we're not humans. We're something different. And we've been around the same time. But the same thing too, where he told her, it's like, do you want to see my true face? And she said, yeah, I want to see it. And then he just kind of, his face changed into his real face. And it was like this demon-y looking face, kind of like a goblin looking face. And it had all these rows of just sharp teeth. And then she freaked out and she was like backing up. And as she was backing up, she was panicking. And then at that point, she realized the room wasn't empty. It was full of like random other beings. And some of them had the same face as him. And some of them were still human or had the disguise of being a human. And she freaked the fuck out. And she says like, and she couldn't handle it. And like, he told everybody to leave and he put his face back. And then she could not handle being around him. She refused his calls. She refused to contact him.
Yeah.
And he just kind of disappeared. But like, there's like many stories of like these beings being around for so long, like Saint Germain, in the 1500s, he was around talking, stories in court about the crucifixion of Jesus as if he was there. And he was like doing all this different stuff. And then later on, like a couple hundred years, or like the story was, that one's interesting because, he was in court and there was this young lady there fascinated with his stories. And he spoke all these different languages and he was rich and he just kind of like had a flow to himself. But then 100 years, but like maybe like 60 years or so, the royals died, the new royalty is in and whatnot. And this guy comes in saying he's a relative of Saint Germain, but one of the ladies in waiting, or one of the old maids that are now there in court, was a lady in waiting back then. And she remembered and knew it was him. And by talking to him, she knew it was the same guy. And he was just kind of like, kind of laughing and all like, oh, you know, it was like, we just look alike, you know, whatever. But it was the same person. And like later on in New Orleans and like the early 1900s, Saint Germain also appeared back in New Orleans being there. And like, so that's why you always get these like rumors of these like immortal things being around that are kind of there. And a lot of people believe that these vampires are just like the offsprings of the not Nephilims, but like the bastardizations of like the Nephilims. Do you know what that is?
No.
So when God cast out the devil and a third of the angels to those Earth, angels, like whatever.
Those angels
were corrupted and they ended up taking human wives as lovers.
And their offspring. They had kids,
and those offsprings
are Nephilims.
They're Nephilims, and some of them say that they're giants, but like those offsprings are part divine, part human, so they don't age as much as normal people do. So most people are assuming that those vampires that you're seeing, those demon things, are the offsprings of those angelic beings mating with people. So like that's like, but like that goes along with like Islamic ideas about like, you know, the demons and whatnot. But like it's all just, but those two stories that I told you are very close to the real stories I hear about vampires, because a lot of times you'll just hear people just saying like, oh, he had two sharp fangs. Like everything's always movie related, but it's never nothing, everything's the same, but these two people didn't know each other, and they had the same story about the teeth. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like, it was interesting, but yeah, I like vampires. Anyways, so we asked a question.
Yes.
Hell dog, where would we put him?
You know, if I can lose anybody, it could be Richard Grant. It could be Dr. Seward.
Okay.
And I like him. Don't get me wrong. I like Richard Grant and other things. But I think I can lose him because we're not getting rid of Tom Waits in anything.
No.
We're not getting rid of the Rocketeer, and we're not getting rid of Cary Elwes.
No. Let's see.
You know what? And we're not getting rid of
Helsing.
I would say
that'd be pretty funny. But yeah. No, I would probably pick. Who would I pick? What role can
Corey
Feldman show up in and just dominate?
Dr. Seward.
I would say Jonathan. Yeah, he can't do any worse than Keanu at all. You know what I mean?
Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, Forrest.
So what have you been blanking?
Oh, man. I saw the X-Men 97.
Did you get my message I sent you?
Which one?
About why does Gambit look like you on a fucking Sunday?
No, I did not. But I'm like,
you didn't see that?
No, I didn't. On Facebook?
Yeah. I sent it to you on Instagram. I'm all, because we're watching it, and I'm all, hey, Lisa. She goes, what? Because he's wearing like that half shirt and everything. And I'm all, hey, Lisa. And she goes, what? I'm all, why the fuck does Gambit look like Jimmy on a fucking Sunday when he has nothing to do? And she goes...
There was like a meme that made me laugh, or a video of some guys... Like
I sent that to you.
The men over 40?
Yeah, the men over losing their mind because of Gambit.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I sent that to you, where he's wearing the trans colors. Yeah.
So funny.
So what do you think of the X-Men show?
At first, I was not... fan of it. I was like,
the first episode?
Well, yeah, because I was like, okay, like, we're not gonna talk about where things are going right away, like, what's happening.
But I think they just assumed everybody was gonna watch it, you know, when it came back on. And yeah. there's a good portion of people who probably did.
Yeah. I never saw the original.
Yeah.
Because they switched channels, they got weird, and like...
It's
a channel... Then it stayed on, and then it jumped over to.
No, no, time. I think it's no. It's they move times, I'm sure.
Yeah.
That I'm sure of, but it didn't move channels until, like, it was on syndication for a bit. So there was a lot of it that was.
I didn't see the ending.
He didn't die. He went to a different planet.
Oh, okay.
Poochied it.
Yeah.
But I don't think he died on the way to his new home planet.
The Shi'ar.
Yeah.
Okay.
He went to that planet, and I'm sure he's going to be back. I like the two cliffhangers they did on that show because...
Oh, I'm thinking of the WB X-Men show.
That one wasn't that great. Yeah, I didn't like that one.
I didn't like it. Go ahead.
That's on the Disney Plus also.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, something else not to watch on there. I like the cliffhanger of the first episode where you're like, oh, we're the X-Men and we're going to lead shit. And then Magneto's like, you sure about that?
Are you sure about that?
Yeah. And then I never read the Madeline Pryor shit.
Okay.
So I didn't know all that story until then. And I know it's kind of like very condensed.
Yeah.
But I think they condensed, I mean, I read it was like a 20-issue thing that I feel like they probably... did the best they can do to condense it.
Yeah, I like how Jean was like, he's coming! And then, like, Wolverine's like, Sinister! Magneto! Sabretooth!
Oh, the baby!
Oh, shit. The look of panic on his face, like, oh, fuck. But the Cyclops using his beams as a concussion beam to push himself back, I thought that was pretty dope.
They're making up for Cyclops on this show. Like, they're not making Cyclops the piece of shit that he was.
I always liked him, but yeah, Wolverine just stepped all over him the entire show.
Yeah. This week's was good. Yeah, I've enjoyed. Did you like the second episode?
Oh, Gene, what?
No, you didn't pick up what they did in the second episode.
It was no.
Where it was. The X-Men stopped January 6th.
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
I was like, oh. Okay. But honestly, that what this show's been so far is what that show should have been in the first place.
Oh yeah. But yeah, overall, because I'm annoyed that it's like weekly, because I want everything.
Well, everything was weekly before.
I know, but I'm
a fucking adult, and they ruined me. But they're already doing a season 2.
Oh, cool.
And they're working on a season 3.
Story wise, because they didn't get approved for 3, or did they get approved?
No, that guy who got fired was working on a season 3 already.
Oh, okay.
Season 2, like, they finished, and he just started season 3, and then he got fired.
Oh, okay. Oh, I've also been watching a show on the Peacock.
What's that?
Called Traitor.
Traitors? Oh my god, you watched that fucking show?
So I watched the season 2 of the American version, season 1 of the Australian version, and...
Who's the host of the Australian? Because the American I know is Alan Cumming.
So, first off, how amazing is he on, like, the show?
Lisa got, like... That sassy... Lisa got, like, 5-10 minutes into it, and she's like, I'm good.
Oh, dude, that sassy of shit with his wardrobe. I'm like, calm the fuck down. Because I was like... Because he had that face from a distance.
What, did you think it was Pee-wee from the fucking 30 Rock episode?
Like, yeah, and I was like, how old is this show? I like it. The cattiness of the gay guy, the host, is it's funny, but it gets kind of like, all right, we're done with you. The Australian guy is just some handsome Australian guy TV host.
Oh, just some...
Just some random dude.
Eric Bana or something.
Yeah. And then, the twist on, like, it's all by chance, you know what I mean? Because, like, you're voting people out randomly, and people are
manipulating things, so it's like... That's all
the ending of the Australian one, good. The season 2
is... Did you watch that False Love yet?
No, not yet.
Trash TV is only when Lisa's watching it, and then, like, if I hear something, I'll kind of stop and look.
Hey, Forrest.
So next week for Francis Ford Coppola month, we're going to watch The Conversation.
The Conversation! So a couple of people at Subway's chit-chatting.
We'll find out
next week.
Well, that's going to do it for the episode this week. If you have any questions or comments, you can hit us up at our Instagram
at yhblankthat.
Or you can email us at yhblankthat@gmail.com.
Bye.
Bye.